All right. A little rock and roll. A little Sympathy for the Devil to start things off. It's good to be back in the saddle again here at the Blue Horizon Studio. We're formerly known as the New York Gridcast. You can probably still call us New York Gridcast. We were, last year we were doing Jets and Giants. We dropped the Jets. You know, it's just too many assholes involved in that. I don't want to even say the word Jets. It's a four-letter word. We're going to concentrate on the Giants. And hopefully you'll enjoy this podcast every week. It's going to be a bit explicit. Maybe some of the language will be blue. Maybe that's why the horizons are blue. I don't know. But we're going to continue to cover the Giants in a very frank and fair way. Okay, so I hope that you download us every week. And I hope we can be of service to you. Our first order of business, of course, is to talk about last week's Monday night game in Dallas. What would I be if I didn't talk about a beating of Dallas in Texas Stadium? How many years of my life did the Giants go down there and get their asses handed to them? The referees tried to do it again to us, but they couldn't. The Cowboys are in such disarray. And I'm not even going to give the Giants credit for winning this game, because I don't think we played that well. I don't think we had a very good game. We didn't have a very strong game. Okay, we made some mistakes. We only had four penalties for the first time since 2001 in a game. We had four or less penalties. That's a good sign right there. But I think the Cowboys are in such a mess. And, you know, it's hubris. And it's karma coming back to bite them right in the balls. I love it. Jerry Jones couldn't keep his hand out of the cookie jar. Had to go for Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells without Bill Belichick is not a good NFL coach. He can get a team. You can bring a team to the water. They can't drink with him there. Belichick's obviously the brains behind the Parcells success. Obviously. And look what Belichick's doing again in New England. 5-1, those Patriots. So I hate him. You know? Good to the team you love to hate, but he's just such a great coach. And Brady is such a great player. You know, you just have to admire what they do up there. They keep changing a majority of their roster every year or two, and they just keep winning. But that's New England. Let's talk about Dallas, though. Parcells comes in. Of course, he's got to bring in Bledsoe. Now, Bledsoe hasn't really been a top-notch NFL quarterback for a couple of years now. I mean, his arm is still pretty decent, but he cannot move. He's failing to read defenses. He's rushing his throws where he's under and overthrowing people. And let's face it, they needed to bring in a different player there. Parcells screwed this up. Now he has to make the change to a guy named Tony Romo, who went to, I think he went to Northern Illinois or some bullshit AA college. This is where the Cowboys are at. They're on their knees right now. Plus, they've got T.O. on their roster, Terrell Owens. I don't even want to dignify him by calling him T.O. I should call him D.H. for dickhead, because that's what he is. I'm glad he's on that team. He's taking that team right down the toilet with him. It's all about him. He is a very selfish individual, a very selfish player. The Cowboys, once again, put their hand in the cookie jar, thought they were going to catch lightning in a bottle. What they did, they got stung right in the ass, and they deserve everything they get for Parcells and T.O. Now, that quote-unquote victory that we had down in Irving, Texas, makes us 4-2. The Eagles lost to Tampa Bay on Matt Bryant's 62-yard field goal. The guy couldn't kick a fucking bull in the ass with a tractor when he was on the Giants, but he kicks a 62-yard field goal for Tampa Bay. Hey, I'm not going to complain. It beat the Eagles, and you know how much I love the Eagles. Puts the Giants in first place with a record of 4-2 and 3-0 in the division. A win over each team, and two of those wins are on the road. You got to love it. You just got to love this, especially after the start we had. We looked terrible. Another year we came out of the gate slow. Another year our defense dragged its ass. And finally we caught up. Finally. The defense started kicking some butt. The offense started holding on to the ball, running the ball. Thank God we're running the ball. And using the major weapons that they have. Tiki Barber, Jeremy Shockey, Amani Tuma. Just use these guys. Veteran players who can get the job done. keep the ball away from the other team. Keep the defense fresh. When they get out on the field, they can make plays. That's the way you win championships. All right, and hopefully that's going to happen for us this year. All right, now we play 3 home games in a row for the first time since 1983. I don't know who makes the schedule for the NFL, but, you know, I guess they use that magic 8-ball. How could you not have 3 consecutive home games for 23 years? I mean, what is going on in this league? Either way, we'll take it. First up is Tampa Bay. Second, Houston. I don't even know why this team's in the league. We'll get to them next week. And then Chicago comes in. Now, remember, this game was a 1 o'clock game on Fox that NBC stepped in, or the league stepped in, and switched it to NBC at 8:30 as part of that new flex strategy that they have when 2 contenders are playing one another. Because, you know, before the season, they really don't know who's going to contend. And that's how closely matched everyone in this league is. You know, after the first 6 or 7 weeks, teams like Seattle, you know, teams like Pittsburgh, the 2 teams who are in the Super Bowl, aren't contending. I mean, Seattle may be in first place, but, you know, without Sean Alexander, now without Matt Hasselbeck, what are they going to be come week 10? Are they going to be 4-5? They could be. You never know. You never know. That's how closely matched everyone is in this league. Pittsburgh's already got a losing record. So this game between the Giants and the Bears, thank God it's finally played here at the Meadowlands. You know, we've been playing them out there for, I think, since 1934. You know, ever since my father was a little kid. You know, every time the Giants play the Bears, we got to go to Chicago. They never come to New Jersey. You know, like the Raiders never came to the Meadowlands to play the Jets. The Jets would always have to go out there. You know, and they wonder why they never beat this team. But this game was switched. Now, Fox, you know, I don't understand what's going on in this world sometimes, but, you know, they pay a load, they pay a shitload of money for football and baseball. Now, do they get compensated from the league or NBC for taking this game? They go stripped of this game. This was the Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, you know, Terry Bradshaw, all that other bullshit that goes on before the game, you know, those schmucks before the game. This was their game, and they ripped it right out of them. And now it goes to NBC and my good friend Bob Costas and his crew. And, of course, Michaels and Madden will do the game. And, you know, they've done a great job. I think I used to hate Al Michaels. Let me tell you, I used to hate him. I used to think he was the biggest piece of shit in broadcasting. But ever since the earthquake and during the Baseball World Series, I had a different view. Now, that's a long time ago. So, you know, I've been listening to sports for a long time, watching sports for a long time. I think that Michaels does a tremendous job. And, of course, Madden still does a good job. He is not far removed from the game like people think he is. He's still very grounded and very close to the action. He talks to the players. You know, he spends the whole week traveling on that bus. So he's got nothing to do but eat fatty foods and talk to football players. You know, that's probably what he's been doing his whole life anyway. But, you know, he's dedicated to this. He's still dedicated. And with the game now, with the Madden game, he's got to keep in touch with all the players. You know what I'm saying? He's got to sit there. Because he has to say everybody's name, he realizes these guys are in the league. So, you know, he's very in touch. He's very much in touch. Don't kid yourself about John Madden. But these 3 home games are going to be big. If we can take 2 out of 3, which I'm hoping we can take all 3, but, you know, I'd like to take at least 2 out of 3. We'll get us to at least 6-3 or maybe even 7-2. And that's a very good start here in the NFC. And one of those victories over Chicago would be nice, too. The only problem we're going to have down the road is if Seattle does bounce back and make the playoffs and has an identical record to us, all right, we may have to go back out there again. If we don't win the division, which I think we're going to win the division. I don't think the other teams are that strong. I think Dallas is going to fade into the woodwork. I think Washington's already got 1 foot on the bus. They're 2-5. You know, that Joe Gibbs, you know, he's lost it. Him and Parcells, come on. It's a new millennium of football here. You know, these people think these guys are going to coach forever. You know, they can't do it. They're only human. They're done. Forget it. Get a new coach. Get a new approach. Do something. But, you know, I think this division is ours for the taking. I think Philadelphia is starting to slip a little bit. You know, they had a very easy schedule up front. Look at the teams they beat. Look at the teams they beat. Houston, Tennessee, whoever the hell they play. You know, all bad teams. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, Dallas, Bledsoe, gift-wrapping a game for them. So, really, they weren't as good as their record indicated. And, you know, we beat them. And then when they come here, we're going to beat them again. So I think we got this division kind of wrapped up now. All we got to do is concentrate, not slip, win the home games, especially this week's game against Tampa Bay, which we'll cover in a few minutes. But, you know, this week, and then Houston's coming in here. Houston just beat, who'd they beat last week? I don't know. They won 27-7. It was a pretty good game. I think they beat Jacksonville, right? They beat Jacksonville 27-7. Now, that's out of nowhere. You know, the game. You know, the bookies must have made a fortune on this game because, you know, Houston had shown nothing up until that point, and then all of a sudden they go and beat Jacksonville. All right, time for a little Giants news. Of course, the Tiki Barber retirement rumors, announcements, official, unofficial. You know, he's not coming out and saying, "I'm done," on a podium. He's not going up after the game, up to the Giants press conference, and says, "Guys, this is my last season, everybody. You know, Mr. Mara, Mr. Tisch, you know, Tom, Ernie, I'm done. I'm finished after this season." He's telling people in the press, in the media. His agent is leaking it out. Oh, yeah, Tiki has loads of offers from media outlets and, you know, the Today Show and Fox and Friends and all this other bullshit. I don't know if Tiki's going to retire. It all depends on how far the Giants get. If the Giants can get to the Super Bowl and win it, he's gone. If they get to the Super Bowl and lose it, he still may be gone. But, you know, the thing is how strong are the offers? How strong is the pull from the non-football world for this guy right now? Is he going to change his mind? Is he going to lose his appetite for this stuff as the season wears on? I don't know. We'll find out. Of course, he's a kind of a unique player, Tiki Barber. Even if the Giants knew before the season he was going to retire, how could they replace a guy who gets 2,000 total yards for you every year? There's nobody else in the game. There's only two players who have the combination of rushing and receiving that Barber has. You know, Marshall Faulk was the most recent one. Marcus Allen was the other. Those guys, Allen's in the Hall of Fame, and Faulk is on his way. So, you know, these guys don't come around. You know, they don't come around that often. Maybe once a decade. So he's a very unique player. And the Giants now have to try to think. They have to try to figure out if this guy's going to do it or not. If he's going to do it, he's got to sit down and say, "Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm done. I'm out of here. You know, I appreciate my career, a 10-year career. It's probably a Hall of Fame career, one of the greatest offensive players the Giants have ever had, maybe even the greatest offensive player we've had here." He's got to say, "Yeah, I'm pulling the trigger on this." So the Giants can proceed. For the good of the organization, he's got to do that. He can't say, "You know what, I'm talking about retiring," and not retire. Because we need some kind of backup plan here. But the other thing that pissed me off, Michael Irvin, that empty-headed idiot, that moron who got caught in hotels or motels with crack hoes, questioning the honor of Tiki Barber, questioning anything anybody does, that idiot. He shouldn't even have a speaking part. Who the fuck hired that asshole? And let me tell you something. He should never question anything Tiki Barber ever does. Tiki Barber's going to the Hall of Fame. Maybe Michael Irvin belongs in the Hall of Fame, but he's not going. He's going to wait a long time before he gets there. Because he's a moron. Why would he say Tiki Barber quit on his team? You don't quit. He didn't quit. He's played 10 years for this team. He's carried the ball. He's gone out there. He's done everything this organization has ever wanted him to do. And we appreciate it as fans, as ticket holders. We appreciate the fact that this guy was a Giant and wore a Giant blue. It's a personal decision on his part. It's his body. It's his life. If he says he's done, he's done. You want him to stay around? You want him to blow out a knee? Break a neck? It's his decision. Okay? We may not like it. Maybe we wish he stayed. Of course we wish he stayed. He's one of the greatest players we ever had. He may be, like I said, the greatest offensive player to ever wear the blue. He may be. And I'm going to be sad to see him go, but if his heart's not in it and he needs to go, then he goes. That's it. He's irreplaceable. He's irreplaceable no matter what happens to him. If he got hurt next week, what would we do? Speaking of injuries, we've got quite a few now. Linebacker core, which killed us last year come the end of the season, is added again. LeVar Arrington, as everyone probably saw on Monday night, blew out his Achilles, and he's done for the year. Matter of fact, he may be done. That's an injury that a guy who needs to be mobile, he needs his Achilles tendon. He may not be able to be as mobile, and I don't know what the Giants are going to do with him. He has an incentive-laden contract, and obviously he's not going to make any of those, he's not going to reach any of those incentives this year. He's not going to make it, so I don't know if they're going to keep him now. And, an Achilles is it's a very tricky injury. A quarterback, you can fade back, get rid of the ball. Testaverde, Marino had it, we know that. But when you need to be moving around like a linebacker, and especially a guy who prides himself on his strength and speed like LeVar Arrington, he's not going to be the same guy. That's an injury that's a permanent scar on your body. It's going to affect you for the rest of your life. It's a tough injury, and it's a tough injury to rehab from because you can't move around while it's rehabbing. So there's a lot of atrophy involved. It's a tough. I feel bad for the guy. And he was playing a fucking great game on Monday night when he got hurt. Unbelievable game. He got to Bledsoe so fast in an end zone for the safety. I thought I was watching Lawrence Taylor again. Really? I did. Ossie Umenyura has a hip flexor. Now, that's another tricky injury. As we know, Bo Jackson, they said he had a hip flexor. And we never saw Bo Jackson again, did we? I hope it's not that severe, but he can't really move. He's not practicing. And his backup would be Justin Tuck. Now, he's hurting, too, and he's not practicing. So, Matthias Kiwanuka, I think I said that right, our number one draft pick, is probably going to start at defensive end in Ossie's place this week. And let me tell you, at 6'5", 270, this kid can move. And, they've been schooling him. I think that he's ready to play. He was one of the best pass rushers. I don't know how much Mario Williams, who was the number one pick, has on this guy. But, I'm sure that he's going to be a very good defensive end in this league. He's got the size. He's got the speed. Now he gets to prove it. Okay, so this is going to be the coming out party, hopefully, for Kiwanuka. I hope I'm saying his name right. And I wish him luck. And I hope he gets a couple of sacks this week. Well, this week's opponent is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they're 2-4, and they haven't really played very well. Of course, their starting quarterback, Chris Sims, is probably out for the year. I don't think he's coming back. He had his spleen removed, and I can't remember which guy in the Panthers pancaked him, but he needed to have his spleen removed, and he's gone. So Tampa's going with a rookie quarterback by the name of Bruce Gronkowski. He's a sixth-round draft pick out of Toledo. Sounds like a real ham and egger, but he's actually played pretty well. If he can't go, then Tim Rattay will go. He's an NFL backup for life, that guy. So, but Gronkowski, all John Gruden wants him to do is not make mistakes. And the Giants, all they do is force quarterbacks into mistakes. So this may be a very long afternoon for Gronkowski. But they do have other weapons. They still have Joey Galloway out there. He's in his 12th year, I think, already. And he could still get open. They have Michael Clayton, who's a very difficult. He's almost like a Keyshawn. He's very difficult for a smaller defensive back to cover. And they have Cadillac Williams. Cadillac Williams, a great scrimmage runner. He's healthy. He's one of the best in the league. And Mike Allstott catching the ball out of the backfield when he's healthy. And I think he scored last week. He had a touchdown. Maybe he did have a touchdown last year. He's Tampa Bay's all-time leader in touchdowns, as a matter of fact. He's been there for so long. But, they still have some weapons there, and their defense is still very good. They have Simeon Rice. Simeon Rice, I didn't know this until this week. Simeon Rice is the second active sacker next to Strahan in the NFL. He is second in sacks next to Strahan for all active players. That's the way I should have said it first time. And they have Rondé Barber, who had a big game against Philadelphia last week, 2 interceptions for touchdowns. But they lost Brian Kelly, one of their key defensive backs. He's gone for the season. So they still have Derek Brooks, you know, but their defense has not really responded. As a matter of fact, they are very, very low against the run. They're not very good against the run, and they haven't been very good against the pass. I really don't know what to say about this team. We should be able to beat this team very, I wouldn't say easily, but they're ranked 27th in the league, 30th against the run. I mean, there's only 32 teams in the league, so they're just absolutely horrendous. And a little bit better against the pass, 15th in the league. But they haven't, have they faced Burris, Tuma, Shockey, Barber, Eli? Have they faced that kind of competition? We don't know. I don't think so. And, you know, coming into the Meadowlands, who knows? The Giants are 9-point favorites. I think they win this game probably by anywhere between 10 and 14 points. But don't bet your house on it, because the Giants are coming home. They've got some injuries, and, well, they still may be feeling it. It's a short week, too. So, you never know. I think we'll win this game, but I have my doubts. But that's it for this week, and we'll be back next week as the Giants take on the Houston Texans. That should be a real barn burner. Please tune in again. We'll be back during the week. I do have some scathing, right now I'm a little tired, but I do have some scathing things I want to say. You know, I just want to unload on Michael Irvin and Terrell Owens, you know, and just two morons. But I'll be back with some very colorful things to say next week, so please tune in again. Thanks.